Welcome everyone back to another episode of Two Fat Guys in a Dream. Of course, I'm your host, Most Truman C. Machine Steen. As always, I'm joined here by my father, Scott Steen. Scott, how are you doing?
Truman, I'm doing well. I've made a commitment to not only lose weight, but to trim the first part of the show, to trim the fat on the first part of the show. So I'm not going to go into a five-minute rant this week when you ask me how I'm doing. I'm doing great, ready for a great show.
Are you sure? Do we want to talk about how we eat fish on Good Fridays or...
If I was gonna talk about anything, I'd talk about how gigantic my microphone is. Look, it's huge. It's bulbous is what
mine?
It is. It's,
mine is?
No, mine. See, it's sneaking into the picture.
Oh, now I see. Yeah.
It's huge. It's huge. So No, we're not gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about our health, our plan, and we're gonna do something we've never done before, Truman. We're gonna do a movie review.
Movie review. That's right. We've done a tweet review. We've had somebody come on here and tell us about their weight loss journey. We've had diet reviews, but we've never done a movie review. A documentary review, actually, in fact.
And we're going to start it off with Shaun of the Dead. So we're excited about that. That's the movie we're going to be taking a look at tonight.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Talk about a lot of cardio in that movie. I'll tell you that much.
Boy, that's no lie. That's no lie. Zombieland Double Tap. I think it's on the list. But awesome. We're going to take a look at a movie made, I believe, in 2020, if I'm not mistaken, called Fat Fiction. And it basically intersperses information about the low-carb lifestyle with a pretty good history lesson about how we got here and why we're so gosh darn fat, Truman. People have theories, and we're gonna delve into those and talk a little bit about it. But first, 2020 we're going to talk about for sure. Us. Yeah. What's that? 2020? Yeah, I thought that was right. Okay. So, you want to talk about how we did this week? I know we're in the tradition of you kicking it off, and we should make no changes this week. So, Truman, tell us about how your journey's going, buddy.
Thank you. I'll kick it off. My journey, all right this week. 255.9 is what I weighed in at. I lost 1.1 pounds. Again, we talked about this last week of not eating something that's going to make me feel like shit. And I did my best this week and really felt eight things that made sense for me, relaxed on things where I was, maybe there was a time where I was grabbing cookies because I was hungry and I'm saying, well, that's not going to make me less hungry. That's going to make me more, it's just going to make me feel like shit. Or, I'll have this soda or I'll have this and this will, and it's like, no, that makes me feel like shit. So, 255.9 is what I weighed in this week. So that's a 1.1 pound loss. Gets me a little closer. 31.41, 25.6 pounds overall, 31.41% of my goal lost, 1.35% gain this week. Mostly just focusing in, getting back into the gym. I just had been traveling a lot and been tired and hadn't been able to wake up for the gym. So getting back to the gym this week for three of the 4 days, already this week was huge for me. So that was big. And I had a workout day on Saturday where I just, I said, listen, what are we doing this morning? And I said, do I have a chance to, and Tina had to, I think, take a shower. She had to wash her hair. And if, for girls, that means a super long shower. So Tina showers for like a 45 minutes and then has to dry her hair, and that takes another 15 to 30 minutes or whatever. So I was like, why don't I just go to the gym and then I can shower when I get back? So that's how it worked out. So just, adding in that workout day when I said, what am I doing here? If I don't go to the gym, I'm just going to sit here on my phone and wait around and do whatever. And, right. it's all in that you should – try to do my best to be getting better at all times, and try not to be standing in place. And so I kind of did that this weekend and, kind of took the time and said, okay, sleeping in right now, what is that going to save me? How much do I actually need that extra hour of sleep here? Okay. I don't need it tonight. Let's go to the gym.
Yeah. I think that's a tremendous use of time, because certainly the temptation is just to turn on the TV or get on the Tiki Talk or whatever it is you used to do.
The MyFace, the Spacebook, yeah, for sure.
Yes, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So
Tweet Talk.
Congratulations, yeah. that's great, and it probably made a difference in your final results this week. So
Yeah, absolutely. 1.1 pound lost. I mean, I'd gained 4 pounds over the last 3 weeks before that. So instead of gaining about 1.33, I lost 1.1. So that's good to see.
You and I have hopped in the Wayback Machine probably 6 months ago when we were both closing in on 250. I was closing in on 300. So people are like, if they miss the show a little bit and then they're tuning back in, they're like, oh, well, they must not have done it for a long time.
Did they start eating in the middle of the show again? What happened? What did they have a weight gain challenge? What am I seeing?
I think the segment where we started reviewing pies in retrospect was probably a mistake.
Well, so, listen, like we've talked about before, the weight comes off. It comes off within reason, but not easily, I would say. But the weight goes back on pretty damn easy, depending on how much you're willing to just abandon all, you know, morals or qualms.
You enter here.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. That's absolutely true. And that gets even more pronounced as you age, Truman. I can tell you that.
Absolutely.
That's a look forward to. So do it now is what I'm saying.
If both of our metabolisms were naturally fast, we probably wouldn't be having this show, I'm going to be honest with you. So
that's probably true. Well, Truman, and now it's my favorite part of the show. This is a little something I like to call, let's talk about me.
Let's talk about number one on my, yeah. Scott, you weighed in 306.6, 2.2 pounds lost. Means you've lost, you know what? The math on the picture didn't show up super well. I don't know why. Oh, I know what happened. But listen, you're down just over 18% of your goal. So you're going. Okay. You're good. You're doing great.
All right. Positive direction, son. Positive direction. That's my goal at this point. We got a little snap of nice weather coming. Mm-hmm. Going to get out and do some walking. It's kind of been hard to get out without the dog, but I've got to readjust and recalibrate to just taking walks by myself and getting those steps in. So that's something that I want to do here over the next few days. And, you know, Truman, I'm happy with the results because, as you know, you and I got together for a little shrimp feast Friday last. Mm-hmm. And I told you that was going to be my last blowout, and it was. I had a soda and
a couple desserts.
I was trying to think of a pineapple upside down cake and something else, and so and a lot of fried fish, which was absolutely delicious.
Yeah, really, really good fried fish, man.
Was it you or Tina that had the hash brown theory?
Me, that was me. That was all me.
I believe you were. The more I ate it, the more I believe you were correct. They were actually coated with shredded hash browns.
That was a banger idea. I got to look up. You know what? I'm gonna do myself a favor on the weight loss show. I'm not gonna look up the shredded hash brown fried fish right now. I'm gonna save it for 20 minutes from now.
If any of you are watch or listen to the show just for entertainment value and you don't have a weight challenge, I highly recommend this recipe.
Absolutely.
If you're doing something that isn't the, I don't know, fried fish and hash brown diet, that's really the only thing I could think of for you that food would be legit.
Carbs you're allowing in your diet is the fried hash browns that are on the outside of the fish. Yeah, absolutely.
That's it. Yeah, you're doing low carb, but that's all you're doing. So
if you're going fatty omegas and fatty oils, this is a perfect diet for you, man.
It was very good, very good. So we had a good time. So yeah, I'm happy with a 2 pound weight loss plus when I was kind of crawling out of a hole there after Friday. So more than satisfied with the results.
Absolutely. So
all right.
Let's get to kind of our main event here.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's talk about a little document. It would be great if I did. Let me
you just screen share the poster or.
Yeah, let me.
I'm sorry, I didn't think about it beforehand.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this is. Yeah, hold on. Fat Fiction. I'll pull up the little IMDb page for you guys. There you guys go. You can see it. You can kind of experience it.
It is available for free. A couple different spots. You can watch it on Tubi with ads for free. You can watch it on YouTube. Did you watch it on YouTube?
I did watch it on YouTube. I have YouTube Premium, so yeah, even better.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you can watch it. I don't know if it's ad-free or not. on YouTube Premium, but either way. And I think maybe Freevee or one of the other kind of off-tier, lower-tier streaming services.
Yeah, Tubi is what I count as that one was.
It's for sure on Tubi. That's where I watched it. So anyway, Truman, one of the things that immediately got my interest was that one of the guys in there was a guy named Gary Taubes, who wrote the book that I was telling you about, one of the books that I read.
Pluto TV, and it's also on the Roku channel. Sorry.
There you go. Pluto TV was the one I was trying to think of. He wrote a book called Why We Get Fat, which had a lot of this information in there as far as as well as a pretty good action plan about how to take care of it. But the movie starts, it basically goes over kind of the history of nutrition and how we got where we are today. And Truman, I think one of the most fascinating parts of the movie was when they talked about the fact that, say, your grandparents, my parents, that generation, they knew that flour, sugar, potatoes, they knew all that was fattening. They knew it was bad for you. That wasn't controversial, you know. But in 1955, there was a professor at the University of Minnesota. I should have taken notes. I should have written down.
I would say you're a little ahead of yourself. So I would say what kind of drove this all into the – what drove America's kind of obesity crisis and heart health into the limelight and kind of into the into the forefront was President Eisenhower's heart attack.
Yes, there was a very good plot point also in 1955 when Ike, a very popular president – Abilene, Kansas. Yes, sir.
That's right. Yeah.
Had a heart attack while in office. And America suddenly noticed that heart disease was the number one killer in America. So getting heart healthy became an obsession because he was very popular there in the 50s. I believe everybody liked Ike.
I was going to say the slogan correctly.
So... yes, that pretty much kicked off the awareness of heart problems, heart disease, and the effect that it could have.
Yeah.
So at about the same time, or maybe in response to this, there was a professor at the University of Minnesota that did a study, and it was called the Seven Nations Study, where he basically drew a direct correlation from the countries that ate the lowest amount of fat, like Japan, with the countries that ate the highest amount of fat, United States, and you could draw a direct line there on the graph, as it were, that showed the more fat you ate, the more likely you were to be obese and have heart disease. Now, the problem with that is when he examined the stats of seven countries, he actually had access to data from 22 countries.
Yeah.
And he did not include those in the study, in the graph, because it would have made the graph what it turned out to be, which is absolutely worthless, with no correlation, with no causation. So
what I would say, looking at the graph, because I've got the graph up for everybody, my only complaint was the saying that there is, you can kind of still see a bit of a, you know, if you had to draw, but the... you know, there's a it's R value.
It's not a straight line.
Wide. No, yeah, right. It's how wide something is the R value. The R when you look at the at just six countries like they had, it was, you know, that graph.
Now, no confusion. It was originally six, and then it was the six country study, and then it became the seven country study.
Right.
So neither one of us are misspeaking. There was a seven-country study came immediately after that, and that's the one that got more pub. The first one was the six, right?
Right, yeah. And as you're watching it, you're like, when he puts out just those countries, it goes like this. And that you're like, okay, for sure, that's a tight line. That is it. And while I would say that's still the line, when you put the whole scatter plot in there, it's, you know, it. While your line is, you could still technically draw the line at best fit probably around that area. The spread is much wider than, because you were like, oh, that's the direct correlation. I see it right there. It literally goes like that. It's a curve up. But as you look, once you get to the spread, it's okay, it's a little more of a complex issue than what he's saying.
Well, and one of the glaring countries that they left off the list that he had the data for was France, mm-hmm. of course, are known for their luxurious buttery sauces, yep. you know, a lot of high fat cream and a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And they showed very little indication of heart disease. In fact, Truman, 25 years ago, there used to be something called the French paradox. Why they could eat so much fat and not be fat. Well, as it turns out, it wasn't a paradox at all.
Right.
It was a direct cause of them not ingesting a lot of trash carbs.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So that's that came later, but that's so anyway, that's kind of what kicked it off. And Truman, if it was in today's world, you'd probably think the dude had like really good social media presence and great marketing mm-hmm. because he was able to get these results into a lot of people. He parlayed that into a job. I believe he was actually the director of the American Heart Association.
Yeah.
And so they basically built everything, all the publicity, mm-hmm. all the recommendations from the USDA, the first food pyramid, all came from this one gentleman's life work. And what all of his studies have in common, none of them ever proved a link between dietary fat and heart disease or obesity.
No, but of course, the industries that could benefit from this guy's study latched onto it. Listen, cigarettes, which we now know were the reason that heart disease rose so much, and still to this day, there's a very strong connection between smoking and heart disease.
Ike was a 4-pack-a-day man, by the way.
Right, exactly.
And they weren't those pussy cigarettes like now. They were probably non-filtered Camels.
Oh, I'm sure. But there's probably less chemicals in them, maybe. Hopefully. I don't know.
Probably, but true.
Probably a little closer to tobacco. But still, smoking was what's causing that heart disease, and they latched onto anything that didn't say it was smoking. And so they said, oh, yeah, fats for sure. I mean, we call them fat, don't we? We call people fat. Of course it's fats. So I just, you know, I think it is, it's like we've run into plenty of times. The smoking industry may not be the most kind-hearted people.
Well, Truman, I think it was darn close to in your lifetime,
mm-hmm.
the tobacco executives all sat in front of Congress and said that they do not believe there's a link between smoking and cancer.
Right, yeah.
So if anybody thinks that these companies that big tobacco, big food, which, by the way, if you look at Kraft, it's actually owned by R.J. Reynolds. There's a smoking connection
hold
in
on,
there I'll somewhere.
Bring up the six companies own everything graph. Hold on.
Oh, don't get me started on BlackRock. All right, just I'm not going down that road.
Well, we're not gonna. But let's see, Kellogg's. Where are we looking for?
Kraft.
Kraft is owned by, sorry, I'm looking at the big old graph here. Hold on. Sorry, there's so many companies owned
Truman
by.
Truman got a big old graph.
God, who does own Kraft now? Sorry.
Couldn't just Google
you keep,
Kraft
you keep
food
talking.
Owner?
No, okay. it's much more fun for everybody if I look at it very slowly on a
yeah, that's
graph
fair.
That they can barely see.
So I don't want to get off on an old man rant here, but if you think big tobacco, big food, big pharma, are in business to help you, you are mistaken.
Well, the snack industry is huge now. The snack industry is one of the biggest. It's the reason that Kellogg's is split into, it's like Kellogg's and then Kellogg's Snack Co. now is another thing.
Now, and I don't want to jump ahead, we'll do a little backwards.
Berkshire Hathaway holds the largest stake in Kraft Heinz.
Okay.
When I was Googling Kraft Foods, hold on, Kraft Foods.
That's Warren Buffett's company, by the way.
Owner.
Berkshire Hathaway.
Owned by Philip Morris comes up also. So.
Philip Morris. There you go.
Philip Morris Company became a holding company and the parent of Philip Morris Inc. and bought General Foods. The acquisition of Kraft Foods came in 1988, after which Kraft and General Foods became Kraft General Foods.
Okay.
So it looks like there's still some connection there. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew there was at least a one point of connection. So speaking of Kellogg's, this is another fun story, and a lot of you probably know this story, but One of the other reasons that low-fat diets became a thing even earlier than the 50s was because of Kellogg, who was a strict Seventh-day Adventist, and he didn't eat meat. He had a lot of weird beliefs. He actually had a spa in Battle Creek, Michigan, where people went and got like weird enemas and all kinds of bizarre treatments. But funny story, cornflakes were designed to temper sexual desire, which was thought to increase when you ate meat.
I did forget about that.
That is absolutely a true fact. Yes. Jacob Kellogg, I think it was Jacob Kellogg was who it was. It's a fascinating story. Maybe run across it on the internet before, but if you haven't.
I did forget that cornflakes were made to make you stop masturbating. I remember, you hear that every now and again and you go, what? And then somebody explains it. You're like, what? So yes. Yeah.
The best to you each morning. That used to be their slogan. Kellogg's cornflakes, the best to you each morning. So anyway, Truman, it just became a snowball, and it just basically rolled downhill. The more you heard it, mm-hmm. the more you bought into it, the more you bought into it, the more you heard it. And it just became self-perpetuating. Right. There was a gentleman in England in the 60s who actually did a very, very good peer-reviewed study that was published in The Lancet. Mm-hmm. And he was advocating a low-carb, high-fat diet. Excuse me. He was shamed and ridiculed and basically driven out of the industry, out of his profession, by this cat from the University of Minnesota, who is extremely powerful, great political connections, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so it was nefarious all the way through.
He told everybody what they wanted to hear, and as society, as a company, we'll do that. We'll push that as a country. If we have confirmation bias every day. Somebody tells you what you want to hear, you say, oh, they must be right. They're right. They're so right. I knew it. I knew I was right the whole time. You know, it's much easier. The three hardest words in the English language to say are I am wrong, or I don't know. And that's true to this day, true back then. And, you know, the guy was telling them exactly what they wanted to hear is, okay, I don't have to change my lifestyle at all. Okay, I just need to eat more. I need to eat more carbs. Oh, yeah, no problem.
Yeah. And so we all went along our merry way eating the food pyramid. And I'll tell you, a couple of the things happened at the same time. High fructose corn syrup became a thing. Became ubiquitous and became added to all kinds of things you would never even think of. One of my favorite things, Truman, is to look like a they maybe just changed it. But McDonald's used to have salads. They had like their regular lettuce salad or whatever it was. Without dressing, there was still like 12 grams of sugar. Like, oh, how do you do that? Yeah. You've got onions, lettuce, tomato. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
So they started adding high fructose corn syrup and... processed foods became a thing. TV dinners, more women started being in the workforce, less time to prepare, less time to cook. Ease became the thing, that boil in the bag. I had them when I was a kid. Yep. Delicious, by the way. Used to have like a little Salisbury steak. Now they call it sous vide, and you got to have a special thing. Back in the day, it was like 29-cent Swanson. You'd cut it, and you'd put it in the bag, and you put it in the boiling water, and be done. Yeah. So they have a lot of stuff like that.
McDonald's, by the way, no longer offers any salads. They do still offer the side salad. No added sugars in the side salad anymore.
Nice. So
because I think that was a big deal.
They were roasted for that, for sure. So there, you can't blame it all on people eating high carbs. But it's a pretty good factor that's mixed in there as well. And, you know, Atkins kind of changed the game. And, you know, I read the Atkins diet when it first came out, and he cited all the studies and everything. And you're like, well, this can't be right. Mm-hmm. This flies in the face of everything I've ever been taught. And the other reason, Truman, that people embrace the low-fat lifestyle because it makes sense.
Right. Low, I am fat. I want less fat on my body. Simple, right. simple. Okay, too much fat, less fat. Okay, I get it. That makes sense.
It is the king of counterintuitive thinking.
Right.
To lose fat, you have to ingest fat.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense on its surface,
but it's different kinds of fat.
Biologically, yes, that's also true.
Yeah.
But so that's basically how we got here, and it's been a slow slog, low carb, high protein lifestyle, and plans are starting to catch on.
Right.
So it's getting out in the mainstream. The American Diabetes Association for years had recommended their Heart Healthy Plate, which is 25% lean protein, 50% vegetables, 25% starch, which you have 75% carbs, 25% lean protein. So for the first time ever, they made the change and are now saying, no, they're not recommending a low-carb, high-fat diet. They are putting it on their list of approved treatment options for people with diabetes. American Heart Association still clings to the Heart Healthy Diet. Mm-hmm. However, they received the largest donation to keep them operating from General Foods. So, yeah,
of course. And I did put up the food pyramid here. There's actually, at the beginning of the movie, as you're watching, they talk, there's a South Park joke where they have the food pyramid, and they said, wow, to fix everything, you just have to flip the food pyramid over? We were doing it wrong the whole time? It's actually kind of funny, because if you look at this, so grains, 6 to 11 servings of grains. I remember having to learn this in school and talk about how to do a diet on this. And you were like, I should eat 8 pieces of bread a day. They're like, yeah, that's fine. That makes sense. Which is, that should have been the first problem where you're like, that doesn't feel right, though.
Nope.
Milk, yogurt, cheese, your meats group up here, 2 to 3 servings and 2 to 3 servings. Crazy. That at the maximum amount of protein, high protein, high fat foods, which are good for you, as we're talking about, you know, within reason, the maximum amount is the minimum amount of bread that you should be eating, which is... Yeah. Just blows my mind. Fats, oils, and sweets. I think if we had to do this pyramid, fats, oils, and sweets can stay up there. That's fine. I would say move the vegetable group and the meat poultry group down to where the bread group is. I'd say 6 to 11 mm-hmm. servings of vegetables and meat poultry eggs. I would leave milk, yogurt, and cheese at the same as the fruit group. I don't, you know, those aren't awful, but I don't think milk has a lot of added sugar if you look at it a lot of the time. Yep. And yogurt, not too far off, but you can get unsweetened yogurt and do fine on it. It doesn't taste very good, personally. But, you know, like cottage cheese is fine. But, you know, I would put those fruit and milk and yogurt on that kind of thing. And then I put your grains on that second level. And I would still put oils and sweets and fats. You know, if you're just using it to fry food in, yeah, keep those at the very top of the pyramid. Don't use those very much at all.
No, see, that's where I would disagree with you. Sweet, yes. Oils and fats, no, unlimited. At the base of the pyramid that expands forever.
You know, it's actually
the
funny.
Right kind of oil. The right kind of oil. No seed oil. Rapeseed oil, or as we call it here in the United States. You know what it is? You know what rapeseed oil is?
Grapeseed oil now, right?
No, rapeseed. You heard it right.
Canola oil.
Yeah, yes. Exactly right. Sorry. You go anywhere else in the world and it's rapeseed oil. The United States were like, yeah, we can't call it that. So
whoa,
it's canola.
Whoa, we got a market. That's a marketing disaster.
Corn oil, canola oil, Crisco, margarine. That is all shit. That is absolute shit. Avoid it at all costs. It should be nowhere near the pyramid.
Yeah.
Real olive oil. And be careful, because if you haven't heard the story of olive oil, there's a huge olive oil imitation business. Very little of the olive oil you buy is actually real olive oil. So be very, very careful. Do some research. Get 100% real olive oil.
We're saying do your own research on olive oil is what we're only really olive oil, honestly. But
there's a list out there of what the genuine olive oils are. So make sure you check that out. But all the olive oil you want, butter is fine. Sour cream. Fine, whatever.
One last thing that I do find actually very interesting. Even on the food pyramid, listen, it says, you know, use your fat and sugars very sparingly. On that top triangle where it's fats, oils, and sweets, on the original food pyramid. Fat here, and the people who will be watching on the YouTube will be able to see it if you're listening on Spotify, I'm sorry, or if you're my dad, sorry. The fats are actually these little yellow dots, and the sweet and the sugars are these little white triangles. It's funny because there's actually, even in that little triangle of fats, oils, and sweets, there is more sugars than there are fats in that little triangle. It's, I would say it's maybe 3-1 sugars to fats as shown here. And at best it should be flipped and really, 5-1, 6-1 on your fats, oils versus your sweets. But even that little bit is still built into that because they were like, oh, carbs are fine. Sugar is just just not a great carb, but it's still a carb. It's still better than fat. You don't want to be fat, do you? And so it's just crazy to me.
Exactly. I was still taught this. 2010, I was still taught this.
Sorry.
I don't want to take an hour and a half to review an hour and a half movie, but
I know.
They do three case studies where they put people on two different diets. They put three different people on two different diets. They put a glucose monitor on them. One of them was the regular heart healthy diet, whatever. It was the USDA recommended diet, the 2000 calorie a day following the food pyramid. The other one was low carb, high fat. And a continuous glucose monitor on them, and you saw very, very few spikes on the low-carb, high-fat diet. Very few spikes. It was almost dead even, calm seas. And, of course, once you add carbs, sugar, you've got waves, and you've got spikes. And they talked about what I found to be the case, and you and I have talked about this, you are far more satiated eating low carb, high fat, and high protein than you are when you eat high carbs. When I used to stop McDonald's breakfast every day, 2.5 hours, 3 hours, I'd be hungry again. Oh, now I have my.
You have a bowl of cereal.
Breakfast. Yeah. Oh, nothing. It's nothing.
The calories in a bowl of cereal versus the calories you could get by just eating eggs and having a glass of milk or something like that. Oh my God, you'll be so much fuller on the eggs and the.
I would say in high school, if you're starting your day with a bowl of cereal, a couple pieces of toast, you're probably hitting the candy vending machine by 10:30.
Yeah. Well, luckily for high school, what's a crazy thing to think about is that lunch is at like 10:30 for some people.
Yeah,
which
I was
going to
say, yeah, unless you had early lunch.
But. Everybody was done by like 11:30 with lunch, which is still insane to think about, but it doesn't matter.
So,
that's not the point.
So look, Truman, I'm loath to give anything 10 out of 10, but I'd certainly give it a strong 9. I don't have a lot of beefs. I don't have a lot of nits to pick with it. I don't have a lot of beefs, so to say. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend somebody investing an hour. I think it's an hour and 45 minutes runtime.
I don't know if you have to have YouTube Premium for it, but hell, you could put it on 1.5 times speed and listen to it also.
You do not have to have YouTube Premium. I put it on regular YouTube just to make sure that it worked. So I can tell everybody.
No, I mean for playback speed. If you can change the, I can change the playback speed to be like 2 times if I was in a hurry or whatever, you know.
Okay, all right. So wherever you choose to stream it, Fat Fiction is the name of the movie. Truman, what would you rate it at?
I mean, I'd rate it at I put it basically in the same zone, 8 or 9. I think one of the most compelling points of it is that this was a study that was done fairly quickly with biased statistics in the 1950s. And for a lot of people, it is still the base of our nutritional knowledge that we use day to day, week to week,
80 years later, including the USDA.
Carbs don't have to be the bad guy necessarily, but carbs cannot be your best friend. And I think they should be a bad guy. But I know some people have survived on just a calorie deficit diet. But at the same time, I don't think you should be buddy buddy with carbs. I think the chicken and rice is crazy to me. I think it should just be chicken and veggies, honestly. But it's harder for people.
You want numbers? You want something we've discovered after a year? Here it is. You want to lose weight? You want to lose weight more than you ever have in your life? Limit yourself to 50 grams of carbs a day, 20 grams of sugar.
Talk about
16 to 1800 calories. Bob's your uncle, get a little exercise, you're good to go.
Trust me, force yourself to eat that much meat and then try to eat more than 1800 calories if you're eating that much protein and that much fat. Try to eat more, you know. That's all.
You can't do it. You'll be full, you'll feel good, you'll have energy, you don't have that afternoon dip. You know, I used to fall asleep at my desk, Truman. You know, the other thing I noticed, when we less than a year ago, I was talking to you about my legs being stiff, my knees being sore all the time. I'd get up, I'd have to walk around just to unloosen. That is not the case anymore.
No.
So even though I haven't lost a ton of weight, the inflammation, I believe, and some of the joint health, I think, is dramatically improved.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, that's it. Go watch a movie. Go watch a movie. Go eat healthy. Go get some exercise. It's going to be a beautiful day if you're in the Midwest. Next few days are going to be really, really nice. So get off your ass and go out there and get some exercise. I know I'll be doing it.
Golf season. Golf season for me, just about. I'm ready. Yeah. Ready to hit the links. But yeah, there you go. That's it. That's the episode for today. We do appreciate you guys for being here. I hope you guys do go watch Fat Fiction on YouTube. I'll even link it in the description on the YouTube page, and yeah, probably just on Spotify. It won't help you on Spotify, but I'll put it in the Spotify description. Might as well.
In case anybody's wondering, we're not getting a kickback.
No.
This was my idea. Yeah, right. I happened to watch this movie on Monday, and I sent Truman the link. I said, hey, let's do a movie review. This is really interesting. Mm-hmm. So that's it. We're not in Big Fat Fiction pocket. We're beholden to nobody. You know, we throw around our 10 to 15 viewers like a cudgel, and they are beating a path through our door for sponsorship. So shout out to the good folks over at Fat Fiction for the $50,000 check you sent us to promo your movie.
Now we need all of you to watch it at least, I think it's a million times, to get $5,000 back into Fat Fiction's pockets.
Yeah, we'd appreciate it if everybody would watch it a million times. So
that'd be great.
Hey, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Give us those great 5-star reviews. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube, all the other stuff that he was about to say.
Of course, twitter.com/steamswing, twitter.com/steamroller. We appreciate you, the believers, the dreamers, even the fat guys, for being here. We'll see you next week.
Have a great week, everybody. Take care.
See ya.